through the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week the podcast features a discussion with Virginia Valentine, the president of the Nevada Resort Association, about how the rebound from the Great Shutdown has worked for the largest resorts in Nevada. This week's podcast is sponsored by IGT. As the digital transformation continues in our country and beyond, find out how your business can benefit from delivering a seamless cashless experience to your players across your enterprise. Learn more about IGT's resort wallet at igt.com/cashless. Virginia Valentine has led the Nevada Resort Association, which represents Nevada's largest resort casinos since 2011. As the pandemic winds down, she reflects on how the industry has rebounded and what this rebound says about the future of gaming in the state. But there are still areas that have not recovered, and Valentine discusses the challenges facing the industry going forward. She talks about the increasing importance of sports and sporting events to the town now that it's home to several professional teams. She spoke with me at the NRA offices in the Summerlin section of Las Vegas in May. If all the world were under Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Virginia Valentine, the president of the Nevada Resort Association. Virginia, it's good to see you again. We did this via Zoom during the pandemic, and I always like to do it in person.
Well, thanks for having me, Roger. It's great to be here with you in person.
Great. Well, that was a tough time for the industry, shutting down the entire Las Vegas Strip. I mean, I remember going up there when there was nobody on the Strip, being able to sit in the middle of the Strip. It was otherworldly. But since then, Vegas has really bounced back. So what do you attribute that to? Why has it bounced back so quickly?
Well, I think after 2 years of not doing much, a lot of people have still had that pent-up desire to go out and travel. So
right.
I think this return to normalcy, travel's a big part of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was quite an amazing period after 78 days of, complete closure, which is, unprecedented. So, the signs of recovery are good. There's still some areas that are not quite back to pre-pandemic levels yet. Meetings and conventions, for example, are not quite back.
Right.
International travel's mm-hmm. not quite back. Business travel's not quite back. But there's some very encouraging signs, and I know you listened to all the earnings calls, so you're
right.
Very bullish. Gaming revenue is up.
Right.
But of course, the integrated resort model is a variety of businesses, mm-hmm. so food and beverage still can come back a little bit.
Sure.
So, but all the signs are improving, and we're very optimistic.
Okay. So when we did come back, there was a mask mandate for quite a few months on top of that. Was that a negative, do you think?
Well, there are, of course, a lot of views on mask.
Right.
Our view was it's a state requirement. We're going
right.
to comply with
of
it.
Course.
It did, I think particularly for people in the hospitality industry, who, the employees are there
That's
to
right.
make
See
the guests have a good experience.
Yeah.
And so, it created, a little bit of friction, but, our role primarily was to make sure that we followed all of the requirements
mm-hmm.
and we were fully compliant.
Right. And those that felt comfortable with it came back, and those that didn't probably didn't. So, but now we're wide open, so it feels good.
Yeah, and I think, from a symbolic standpoint,
mm-hmm.
Not seeing the mask or the dropping of the mask
right.
mandate is good psychologically for
yes.
everyone. And, of course, you still see a few people wearing masks.
Sure, and
so.
if they want to, that's fine, right?
And they'll continue to do that. Right,
right. Exactly. So you mentioned meetings and conventions. It's starting to slowly come back, but it's still not there by any means. How long do you think that's going to take to fully come back?
Well, that'd be a great question, really, for Steve Hill at
right,
the
yes.
LVCBA. I know they're working very, very hard, he
mm-hmm.
and his team are. And it looks like we are getting there. We're getting shows back. Some of them aren't as big as they have been in the past,
mm-hmm.
But they're working very hard to rebook those. So I think it's happening,
yeah.
it's happening. We're going to get there.
Yeah, I think so. I think we just saw NAB come back a couple of weeks ago, and certainly not as big as it was, but they're setting the groundwork for, I guess, the next session, and it'll come back just as strong at that point.
Right. And, of course, now you see the announcement of more international flights happening,
right.
and, of course, with some of the, I know we're going to talk about the sports
yeah.
Phenomena now
yeah.
that we're experiencing here, but that attracts, new and different
sure.
visitors. And
right.
so, we've also been kind of diversifying at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We're recovering. So I think that's going to help us come back a lot quicker, too.
Okay, great.
So, you know, just in the last few years, there's more competition from the resort side on the meetings, conventions. We've got the new Caesars Forum. There was an addition to Mandalay Bay, and all the other, of course, the Resorts World opened. So there's a lot of capacity for meetings and conventions. How do you work with the LCVVA to really, you know, make sure that everybody is treated fairly?
Well, the LVCVA works with individually with the resort members, right, to do that. And I think what all these different venues have really done is kind of, and on top of these different offerings in sports, have created a bigger pie for, sure, everyone to share. And so there is a venue that it literally is perfect for just about any event.
Sure.
So then you can have the size event you want, the type, mm-hmm, of venue you want, the location you want.
Sure.
So and then, of course, because now we have multiple events happening at the same time,
sure, right, yeah,
it expands our capacity to have more events. And those really popular times in October and March, when you see, you know, the weather is good,
right,
people want to be here.
Sure.
So I think it's really been additive.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a big attraction when the things fully come back in terms of the Boring Company. That's an incredible transportation system, and the way it's been described to me, it sounds like it can't be beat. So do you think that's really going to be an attraction for shows and conventions to come back to Las Vegas?
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting. So I do think there are people who will want to come and experience that,
sure,
just for the experience of that.
Right.
You know, the fact that it will get people, when it's fully implemented, up and down the strip a lot quicker.
Yeah.
They'll spend less time in traffic. You know, I think that's great too. I think we'll always have people who want to drive down the strip,
right,
and, you know, get the eye level view of it. But it's an incredible project. It's going to put us on the map in terms of being innovative, I think, in the,
sure,
transportation,
absolutely,
space.
And they're going to use it as sort of the model for their expansion across the country and across around the world, I imagine.
Well, it's a huge demonstration project for,
yeah,
them, right? So they're very vested in its success.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's a good thing for the city as well.
Give your players a convenient cashless gaming experience with IGT's Resort Wallet. Whether using a Players Club card or a mobile phone app, players will love the simplicity of transferring money from their cashless accounts to their favorite games. When they're done playing, funds are transferred back to the player's account. No more waiting in line at ATMs, and no more waiting for service when a ticket printer or bill validator fails. And with IGT Pay, players can fund their cashless accounts from multiple external sources, including debit cards, credit cards, e-wallets, and more. It's simple, it's modern, and it's safe. Learn more about IGT's cashless systems at igt.com/cashless.
So we've seen the T-Mobile open a few years ago and attract the Golden Knights, and then we got the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium, and now they're proposing another stadium, another arena, you know, on the South Strip. Is there room for another arena in this town, do you think?
Well, you know, I guess people would probably say these wouldn't work. And, of course, they've been successful beyond belief.
Right.
And you probably know from following the stadium,
sure,
committee that Allegiant has enjoyed bookings beyond what was projected.
Right, of course, right.
So I think there's a lot of opportunity there, particularly if we're talking about bringing additional professional sports team to,
sure,
town.
Yeah.
And so again, those venues are all a little bit different. So,
mm-hmm,
they suit a particular type of event and audience. And so, again, in terms of multiple events, there have already been many nights when you have, you know, an event at T-Mobile,
right,
and an event at Allegiant.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, again, it kind of makes the pie a little bigger. So I think there's lots of opportunity here,
right,
for all of those.
So, you know, I've been to Allegiant a couple of times, and we seem to have been navigating the kind of lack of parking there. But do you think people are going to get used to that, and we're not going to need any additional parking?
I don't think they are, and I'm going to speak from my personal experience,
okay, yeah,
here. But I know the first time we went, mm-hmm, we spent quite a bit of time in traffic. We,
right,
weren't quite sure where the parking space was.
Right.
After that, we took the RTC buses,
right,
and those are incredibly efficient. If you watch them, they pull up, they load up, they drop off. The point of departure for us, we actually watch them drop off people from a Raiders game and pick up people going to a Golden Knights game.
Mm.
So I think people have figured out how to navigate with it. I know people who say, well, I'm going to go wander around, have dinner first, right. or I'm going to wander around, have dinner after. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to be a lot smoother now. It was a bumpy opening, but we seem to have worked through it. There's been a little learning curve, and we're learning about that. Yeah. So.
And the casinos love that because they're going to bring people into their parking garages and hopefully wander under the casino floor. Or the restaurants, whatever.
Yeah, they enjoy the resorts too.
Right, exactly. So we just had the NFL draft. According to all measurements, maybe except for gaming, it was a success. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people in town. Now we've got the Formula One booked for 2023. I think that's a series of races too, if I'm not mistaken. So, are these like city-centric events are really important to Las Vegas?
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, if you think about it in terms of, maybe I'll just use the draft even before the Super Bowl, but the number of impressions, the people around the country and the world who were able to see the iconic strip. I mean, basically, and I love the new tagline R&R has developed for the LVCVA, which is the Earth's greatest arena. And now the strip has become basically in and of itself a stage. And so I think in terms of the value of people seeing Las Vegas and thinking, I want to see that, I want to go there, I think it's absolutely huge. And of course, then in terms of visitation, excellent. One of the things I really like about the draft, it was free. And there were a lot of local people could enjoy it too. Yeah. And that's always, a plus. Yeah. So, but I do think when you start to get something like F1 that has a big international following, it's like a whole nother level. It's probably a different demographic. It's probably not the same people who are already coming here.
Right.
So I think that's huge. And then Super Bowl.
That's going to be the granddaddy of all of it.
Didn't know I'd ever see that happen, but it's very exciting for us. Right. And of course, Roger Goodell said, as he said, the draft was perfect. And I think it also demonstrates that Las Vegas. And I have to thank the county for this and the LVCVA and the Metropolitan Police Department. But there were many hands, a lot of work behind the scenes in DOT that made that happen and pull it off flawlessly.
Sure.
So I think it demonstrates also our capacity to have a large, complex event and make it look easy.
Yeah, yeah. And even though it looks easy,
it looks easy.
Behind the scenes, right?
A lot of work went into getting that look.
Right. Well, now maybe one negative thing is, I get a lot of complaints from people walking on the strip that all they can smell is pot, marijuana. Obviously it's legal in Nevada, but you can't do it inside the casinos because of the it's illegal federally, so they can't do anything where they can't touch it. Is the Nevada Resort Association going to support the legalization of marijuana at the federal level? So maybe, and what would the impact have on the resorts here if that was legal?
Well, that's a conversation we haven't had because it isn't legal yet. And as you know, the state did approve
the lounges.
Right. And so now the Cannabis Control Board and the counties and others are working on now what regulations would look like for consumption lounges. So visitors will have a place to go legally smoke marijuana. But in the meantime, I hear the complaints too. We do have the ability to push back a little bit and ask people, people cannot smoke on a property. And in fact, there should be no adult marijuana uses within 1,500 feet of casino by state law. So, we have the ability to at least kind of control that. So there are, there are guests who want to consume marijuana when they're here, and there are others who prefer not to have anything to do with it.
Sure.
And as usual, we want, guests to have the opportunity to go to a cannabis consumption lounge.
Sure, I guess related to that, there is now a move to clear people off of the overhead walkways on the strip. A lot of people were loitering there, begging, selling things. What's the reasoning behind that to clear that off?
Well, there are a lot of things going on up there. Primarily, they are obstructing the passage, and those pedestrian bridges are those are truly crosswalks.
Right.
And you will remember, before there were bridges, there were crosswalks in Las Vegas Boulevard. So now a guest or someone who wants to get from one side of the street to the other does not have an option. There is no alternative. You cannot cross the street at grade level. So that means that pedestrians must go up on the bridge and pass. So if you are obstructing those areas, then you are preventing that flow. You are creating a system where a visitor or an employee is going to walk through a gauntlet of who knows what. So those are not intended for people to loiter or stand around or you know, harass people in any way. So we think it's really important that those bridges are treated like crosswalks. I mean, you wouldn't see people, you know, playing cards or sitting around with their dogs in a crosswalk. And these are basically crosswalks. They are there to convey people from one side to the other. And that's the sole purpose of those bridges.
And they were certainly a detraction from the friendliness of Las Vegas when you get harassed by when you're crossing the, one of those bridges by vendors or beggars or whatever.
Yeah, that's not the guest experience we're going for here.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about development on the Strip. You know, MGM just closed on Cosmopolitan today, I believe. And then, you know, we've got Caesars trying to sell Flamingo. At this point, MGM, I think, owns 60% of the rooms on the Strip, which is, you know, pretty high concentration. But then you also had Resorts World open, Fontainebleau will open next year. Who knows what's going to happen at Tropicana, which is owned by Bally's or NGLPI now. So are you concerned about the concentration of ownership on the Strip, or do you think these additional properties are going to kind of dilute that?
You know, I think it is an opportunity now for, we have, you know, new management coming in, we have new companies coming in, there's some rebranding that's going to go on, there's going to be new capital investment in these properties, and so I think it is an opportunity with the database of, you know, that of visitors that, you know, each owner and operator may have. There's some synergies for them in operating. There's an opportunity also to get a little more diverse and have some more niche properties and niche properties. And so I don't see really a problem with it. It's you know, as you, like Cosmopolitan, for example, will fold into that luxury portfolio that MGM operates.
City Center out there.
And so I think it's all good. I mean, the fact that there's that kind of investment going on is, I think, a really good indicator of the optimism of the industry.
Yeah, no question. And there's still some open spots. I mean, we have Tillman Fertitta looking into the lot of land across the street from Aria. So that would be really interesting.
Of course, in the locals market, the Durango Station will open soon. And so that's something else exciting for locals.
Yeah, no question. So, you know, the American Gaming Association is lobbying to get the jackpot limit raised from $1,200 to $5,000. I mean, that dates back to the late 70s. Would that impact how the resorts operate here?
Well, I think this is a long overdue change, and I want to thank Congresswoman Titus for leading the charge on this, and also Representative Horsford and Amaday for their support. So when you have to stop the play and fill out a lot of IRS paperwork, now you're going to streamline the process. It's going to improve the guest experience. It's going to be more efficient. And so I think we're really happy to see that in the works, and it's long overdue. So I think that's going to improve the guest experience. Nobody wants to stop and do paperwork when they're on vacation.
Yeah, no question. I think that would really help get rid of the red tape. That's for sure.
Yes, it would.
So the NRA puts out an annual fact book, which I've always found fascinating. It delineates the impact of the industry on the state of Nevada. You did one last year in 21, which I thought was great, but it was still being impacted by the pandemic. Are you going to do another one this year that will kind of show how far we've come?
We are. We always do those ahead. It's always a two-year look back, and we will do another one going into the 2023 session. One of the more interesting facts that come out of that is it's really a book of data, is that about 34% of the state general fund revenue comes from the tourism industry. So it's got some data about being the largest employer, biggest taxpayer, making a lot of capital investment, and of course, the indirect impact, and I'm sure, Reggie, you've done back of house tours when you see all the small businesses that the resorts rely upon. It's really has incredible economic impact. So yes, we'll continue to do that.
No question. I think the small businesses inside casinos are pretty interesting. That seems to be a growing trend. You know, when Resorts World opened just this year, you know, there was all these small businesses inside the big resort. I mean, that's got to be a positive for Nevada as well.
It is, and it's everything. It's not just what you might think of as retail or restaurants. It's recycling companies. Mm-hmm. It's dry cleaners. It's, you know, laundry companies.
Right.
It's all kinds of maintenance, landscaping,
sure. Yeah.
Everything you can think of.
Yeah. Back of the house stuff for sure.
Right.
So we got a big election coming up in Nevada. The primary election will happen in June, and then the November election will decide some important seats. Is the NRA going to support candidates in that election?
Well, we are, Roger, and this year, for the first time in a long time, we have a political action committee,
mm-hmm.
and we've raised some money, and we are going through the process now of interviewing candidates and looking for candidates who understand the tourism industry and its importance to the state.
Okay, great. You have a pretty stellar board of directors here. How important is the board of directors to the direction of the NRA?
Well, the board of directors basically sets all of the direction.
Right, of course.
You know, I work for them. So Ellen Whittemore with the WIN is our chairwoman right now. And Ellen is just, she's terrific.
She's one of my friends for sure.
Yeah, she's great. So yeah, a lot of direction comes from her. And of course, we have an executive board, which has the biggest six largest gaming operators, and then an at-large member from the north and from the south.
Right.
We're a statewide organization.
Sure.
And so, you know, that's the group that makes a lot of the decisions. And during the legislative session, that's the group all members are engaged in the process of us deciding our position on bills. Mm-hmm. But the executive committee is the one that sort of vets those bills and sets some of the guidance there.
How about the role of some of the smaller casinos? You know, I'm pretty familiar with the folks in Henderson, Tim Brooks and the gentleman who runs Railroad Pass and the Pass down there. Do they have a role at all in this, or are they just a little too local?
You know, we haven't. They're not members, but I will tell you that we have in the 77 resorts that we represent. It's 22 companies, but 77 resorts.
Okay.
We have everything from, you know, single operators to very large international global companies. And they all contribute something in a different way. So some are very interested in the sportsbook operations, for example. Some are very interested in the international visitation aspects. They're all interested in things that affect the workforce, housing. We even have a group that works on corporate social responsibility, and that group's become very active in sustainability, human trafficking, and homelessness.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that's really a strength that we have such a diverse membership, and I think that makes us a lot stronger. It's more interesting. It gives us a very good perspective, and so I really enjoyed about the organization.
Right. Well, it's a great organization. You've done a lot of good work for Nevada. And again, if the resorts weren't here, you know, we'd be in sorry shape in the state. So, Virginia, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. And it's great to see you again.
Great to see you, Roger. Thank you.
It's in the scrawny hand.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast with thanks again to IGT. Provide your players with the digital experience they expect. IGT's resort wallet with IGT Pay is safe, simple, and convenient. Visit IGT.com/cashless to learn more. To learn more about the Nevada gaming industry and how it drives the economy of the state, visit GGBmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at GGBnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.